going.
Welcome. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. This is a continuance of an application from the City of Middleton. It's OR2025-0010. City of Middleton's area of impact order line, and we are continuing deliberations. Public testimony was closed at our last meeting, and this is a continuance. So, Arvine, are you going to do the introduction, or Amber is going to do it? They keep switching it.
Yes.
All right. So, Amber, if you would narrate where we've been and where we're at and where we're starting from today.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Amber Luter, and I will be presenting the Area of Impact Proposal for the City of Middleton. On October 16, 2025, we discussed the background per the Idaho State Statute 67-6526 regarding the Area of Impact for the cities within the counties. The full Idaho State Statute 67-6526 can be found in Exhibit B1 of the staff report. The case was first heard on October 16, 2025, where staff and the applicant gave a presentation on how the city meets the criteria outlined in Idaho Code 67-6526. Staff made a recommendation of approval subject to removing the parcels within city limits and the parcels past the 2-mile radius. The applicant was amenable to making those adjustments to the proposed area of impact. Public testimony was heard and closed. The case was continued to today, October 29, 2025, to allow for deliberation and potentially a decision. Staff received the judgment and FCOs for the approval of the $78,558,000 loan for the City of Middleton's sewer system improvements. On the screen is the signed judgment for the City of Middleton's loan to be used for the sewer system improvements. The FCOs are 10 pages, which staff can provide a copy to each commissioner, and we can then add them onto the website for the record. Staff can read the FCOs into the record, or we can move forward without the FCOs. How would the commissioners like to proceed with those?
Chairman, I am in favor of not accepting that because there are questions in there. I did listen to the audio. And because there's conflict with what was presented in district court with what was said, I would prefer that we did not accept that and that we staff, if I understand it correctly, has made a decision and recommendations based on the information that was provided within the deadline guidelines.
That is correct.
Mr. Chairman, it's been put on the record that the judge confirmed it. So, I mean, whether or not we accept it at this point is kind of moot.
Yeah.
We know it happened. But it was in the staff report that it was going to a judicial confirmation. Obviously, it's now on the record that it has been confirmed. But I think we can ask some questions around it or how it affects the application itself.
I agree. I feel uncomfortable to accept it as evidence for the document.
Thank you, Commissioners.
And Chairman, if what I heard, if there's questions that we can ask based on that, I know that I listened to it, but I don't know who else listened to it. I would submit then that we're allowing questions based on that. Is that what I heard you say?
I think so. I think that you're going to be judicial confirmation. And the engineer represented that it could be an incidental up to 15% growth in capacity that they have currently. But the judicial confirmation is not on expanding their capacity. It's incidental to their capacity. So I don't see how judicial confirmation is significantly changing the question about where the boundary line goes.
Okay, and I appreciate that clarification. Also in that, the judge stated, if this is, are we able to talk about this then a little bit? Mm-hmm. Stated that there was no opposition to that, and I, given the attendance here today, I don't find that to be either factually presented to the court for review, but that, there's obviously opposition to that. And then this phased approach, as you've already indicated, does not extend the capacity. So we don't, I don't know what the entitlements are that would serve that. I also don't know, the annual payment was stated to be $3.2 million. It's spelled out clearly in that court document, that hearing, that it will not come from a general obligation bond and it will not come from an increase in property tax. It's going to rest squarely on the assessment of fees to each household that it serves now, so the upgrades. I have no idea of what that impact is, and that's not been provided, unless I missed it, to date, right? And I don't know the rubric for calculating that. So that information is not available today. And then the other part for me, if this is only the will serve for granted entitlements and existing residents, we don't know what it will take to provide service for new entitlements. That's also what I heard that was presented, that they wanted to do this because they wanted to move forward with granting additional entitlements. And that is nonsensical to me at this point, where I don't have maps showing what's already been granted, where it's at. There's a lot of missing information, and I think that's a leadership issue that has to be ferreted out.
Okay. Do you have a point of view?
No, I have questions.
Ask away.
Roberta, would you like to come on, please?
Commissioners, I'm sorry, do you want me to continue finishing my presentation before we proceed with questions?
We certainly.
Thank you.
We just didn't realize it.
It's okay. So I'm just going to proceed without the SCOs. I appreciate that. So the City of Middleton is requesting to reduce the established boundaries on the east and west boundaries and expand the north boundaries for the proposed area of impact. The City of Middleton's proposed area of impact is 14,923.68 acres, which is a 2,852.73 acres increase from the City of Middleton's current area of impact. As a reminder, per Idaho State Statute 67-6526-4A, there are five criteria that a city wishing to either establish, confirm, or modify the area of impact must provide evidence to support. Per State Law 67-6526, in addition to the five criteria for the cities to establish an area of impact, there are three additional requirements. The staff is recommending approval of the City of Middleton's proposed area of impact with the removal of parcels R38050010, R38050010A, and R34115. The board has the following options in making a decision for case OR-2025-0010, Middleton's proposed area of impact. Thank you for your attention, and I now stand for any questions.
So for clarification, the east boundary line, is that adjacent to the star boundary line, or is there an area in between?
Chairman, it is adjacent to the star boundary line on the this boundary here, there is a space, but I'm not sure if star actually is extending or not.
You're zoomed in too far. We can't see your mouse.
Can you now?
No, there, move it. I don't know that I see it.
There
we go.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner. Sorry.
No problem.
It should be able to zoom in now that that's on there. Try it.
It will not allow me to.
It will not allow you. Okay. All right. That answers my question. The southern, southwestern boundary, is that
on the north-south angle, just below Highway 44, is that immediately adjacent to the City of Caldwell's area of impact boundary? Or does it go out further?
Chairman, it is adjacent.
Okay, thank you. Other questions for Amber?
Not at this time, thank you, Chairman.
No, Mr. Chairman. Okay, now you can go.
Okay, now you can come up, please.
Roberta Stewart, Planning Director for the City of Middleton, 1103 West Main Street.
Okay, thank you.
You're still under oath from the court, so.
Yes.
So last time, at the very end, some information came out that we didn't get to further go into. You said 50% of the capacity, the will serve capacity, is being used today. Is that correct?
That's correct. Actually, I need to correct it a little bit. It's actually around 60%. I talked with the Public Works Director, Jason Van Gilder, and it turned out that when City Engineer spoke last time, she admitted that she didn't know the numbers of capacity very well, and she actually gave wrong capacity numbers. And if I could, I would like to update the record with factual capacity from our Public Works Director, who's in charge of the sewer treatment project, so that you have actual correct facts in front of you.
I'm okay with it.
That's what you're needing to know.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be good, especially if you're using more than what you told us.
So actually today we have 8,000 planned EDUs. We're using only about 60%. But, and so with the confirmation of the $78 million that we got from the judge last Friday, what is happening is that the first phase will bring us up to EPA controls, but it also gives us 1,800 EDUs according to the Public Works Director, 1,800 EDUs. And so we'll have that in a year and a half, because we intend to be done in 2028. Then, and that's the bulk of the upgrade, but then after that, there's two phases of minor updates. They're easy to put together, but with the second one, it'll be $30 million, and we already have that funding now. We have the wherewithal for it. We will get 2,400 more EDUs. And then with a little third phase that can be done very quickly, these are just adding on to the as-built, for $18 million, we get another 1,200. So within the next 3 or 4 years, we could have an extra 6,400 EDUs. City Engineer was wrong on that, but she admitted she didn't know exactly the numbers, so that's why I need to correct them. So combined with our 8,000 current EDUs, we would have 14,400, and that is enough to support a community growth of up to 40,000 people, and that's our planned growth by the year 2040.
No.
Whoa, we're not playing this game. You want to do that, you'll do them outside.
Okay, so you have 8,000 right now. You're servicing 60% of that?
Yes, according to the director.
So then you're going to add 1,800, 2,400, and 1,200.
And 1,200, 6,400 total.
The math doesn't matter.
That you're
1,800 plus 2,400 plus 1,200 is 6,400.
No, it's 5,400.
Excuse me. Then that's 5,400. So, yeah. Oops, I got that wrong. You're right. Thank you. 5,400 EDUs.
60%. So you're telling me 60%, you're using 4,800 right now?
Yes.
What are you committed to? Like, what's been approved? That's ultimately my big question right now is, inside that purple area, what has the City of Middleton already said you will serve?
We have planned ourselves out to approximately 8,000, just shy of 8,000. But because subdivisions come on over time, it will be years before we actually get to that 8,000 for entitled subdivisions today.
So if they all came online tomorrow, you're max capacity?
We're pretty much max capacity.
So... so what's that map look like if you only included capacity for 5,400 more EDUs?
That could, as I showed, between Daybreak and one more parcel, either Farner Farms LLC or Virginia Hiker, we could easily make it all the way up to Galloway within a year or two, because actually the annexation occurs right up front, but the toilets don't start flushing for 5 to 10 years. So it works in tandem with our sewer expansion. So what I'm saying is when City Council realizes that it has the money in place, it has the wherewithal to serve 40,000 people, they can open the gate and start the annexations, knowing that we have the money, we have the plan. The sewer treatment plant is already planned. It's finalized, ready to start. So now we can start annexing in again, including Daybreak. And then if there's one or two more lots, there we are. But like I said, it'll take 5 to 10 years to completely flesh out, and that will match the timing of the construction of these treatment plants. But the annexations all the way to Galloway can occur within a year. The actual legal annexation, city limits. Just because you entitle a 600 lot subdivision doesn't mean that every lot comes on right away. They might bring in 50 lots or 50 homes a year. But the annexation has already occurred. City limits have already been expanded, and a treatment plant is being built. It's possible.
You're making a really good argument to shrink your boundary. If it's going to take that long, why do you need such a big boundary?
The annexations themselves can occur within the year. If Daybreak came in and another parcel above that, the annexations themselves and city limits can expand in 27.
No, I get that, and you don't need narrative impact to make those annexations. So I get that. So that was what? Daybreak was 700?
Yes.
Okay, so now you're down to 4,700. What's the next one?
I can't say for sure, but I mean, it would take only one or two lots after that.
Maybe you can't answer this, but how many more do you anticipate in the purple area if in the next 5 years?
I would say you can't flush out the whole purple area. It's not like spilled milk. It just spreads out evenly. It'll be just... certain lots that come through, and you never can know. It's developer driven, but the potential is there. The ability to serve is there. These are large lots. It doesn't take but one or two subdivisions, and you're at the outer perimeter. But no person can say for sure this farmer's going to sell his lot to a developer. I don't know.
I get that. Do you have a map of the entitlements that you have currently that are not online? Like what you have committed to will serve. Do you have a map of that?
We do. We do have a subdivision map that shows entitled subdivisions. It's not part of this application, of course.
It could be.
It could be.
My concern is if you were that closely committed to your potential 8,000 and you're already committed, my problem as state code is you have to prove to me that you're able to do the expansion and the sewerage in within 5 years. And you have a pretty steep road to hit for you to be able to prove that out. So I don't have a question. I'm making a statement for towards deliberation.
Yeah, Chairman, I do have a question.
Okay.
So what you've laid out for the commissioners to consider is a really $126 million sewer upgrade over time. And you've said that the finance is in place for phase one, but do you have a cost per household? I know people would be interested in knowing what it is that they're going to be asked to pay for. And then as you add those phases on, they're going to have to continue to fund that, is what I heard in the testimony. So what are citizens, in fairness to them, what is it they're going to be asked to do to upgrade this at build out?
So first of all, the $78 million is all three phases. There will be no further need for anything beyond the $78 million.
Okay, then I need clarification.
I'm not sure where you got $126 million.
Well, first, I thought I heard you say $78 million was phase one. Then phase two was $18 million, and phase three was $30
million. No, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have done that. It's $78 million is for all three phases, but I was telling you how the bulk of the money at first is for phase one, but then for phase two, within that 78 is $30 million, and then, yeah.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, and sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I have a question based on your comments about annexation. So that's the other concern that people have. We get that question a lot. Is the intent for forced annexation? I know we're not, but you're talking about growth and capacity, contiguous parcels, a lot of those subdivisions that are up past Purple Sage are county approved subdivisions, and people intentionally built in that because they wanted to be a county subdivision. So I need you to clarify what you just said regarding that, if you're okay with that, Chairman, but thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity. I feel like there's been a lot of misinformation out on the blogosphere. The city has a policy against forced annexation. The application today is not about annexation. Even if you didn't give us an inch, we can still annex way voluntarily. Mm-hmm. Nothing changes. And so the last administration and the current administration have a policy against forced annexation. There are ways to move around and past, but at this point, no need to force annex.
Okay. And then, thank you for that. I need to jump back because I didn't allow you the opportunity to provide an amount that citizens would pay for, not 126 now, but for the $78 million. What's the 87 or 78?
Was 78 million.
Okay. So what is the cost per household?
I don't know the cost per household. I do know the Public Works Director has handled a lot of this, and we did a very expensive rate study. So I don't know the cost per household, but a lot of it is just connection fees that are put into reserve to cover it. And that's how it's just going to be paid, a lot by developers, in fact. So, but I can't say that I know what each household is going to be. It was a very difficult two-year rate study hired by a consultant that put that together.
Yeah, thank you for that. And then I'm trying to phrase the question, how is the board, out of respect for local government, supposed to step over the ordinance that Councilman Murray put in place on growth? That's an obstacle that I have no interest in getting in the middle of that personally. I'm speaking for myself. But either what I heard, that is my district, is that the mayor ran on no growth. This is not a no growth plan. And so I don't know how to step over what was presented to me as a commissioner that this would hold. And these people are here today wondering how that conflict would be resolved. Particularly, I'm assuming that there has not been a council meeting to repeal that ordinance.
Commissioner Van Beek, I see the conundrum, but you also need to find facts for any order that you make today or later on. One of the facts that I set forth was that the council member who made that promise, made it on the record, said he would do it. That's a fact. You have the ability today to take his comments at face value. That's a fact that could be put into an FCO and deemed reasonable. You could rely upon that. You were there, you heard it personally even.
And thank you.
I would take exception to that. I'm a mayor, I've been a long time. One council member cannot make that presentation or representation. He's one vote. So I appreciate his point of view, but he doesn't have that power.
Agreed. So, and I've had a number of conversations because I took time to look at his presentation to CUNA. I went to the Middleton City Council where that was approved. And in conversations with Development Services, if Middleton doesn't want that ordinance, it is a, then they have to repeal that. I wouldn't take one councilman. I'm going to support the chairman's position that that a single councilman doesn't have that kind of power to do that. And he's got to persuade other people, and including the mayor, on how to do that. And again, I have no interest in stepping over that in local government. So, thank you, Chairman.
I'm sorry to put you in that position.
No,
no,
that's fine. I understand.
It's not personal.
Right.
Did you get your...
I did, Chairman. I do have one more question, though.
Sure.
Who presented the information in district court?
It was an actual attorney that was hired that does that kind of thing. And I can't remember the name.
Okay.
I happened to be out of state at the time, so I kind of missed that.
No, a little bit. It's fine, and I do appreciate your demeanor being here today. It is interesting because the statement was made that there was no opposition. So I find that to be a conflict, but I thought maybe you might have know who presented. So it was an attorney, an out of state attorney, arguing for that.
Okay, it wasn't city attorney, it was a special attorney.
Okay.
I'm just going to walk up and ask him a question while I do it.
Question for me or?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Use this as a point.
Oh. Is this Middleton City Limits right here?
That is Star City Limits.
That's Star 2 there, so yours ends here.
Kingsbury is where Star City Limits touches our city limits.
Okay.
Chairman, can I just add for Commissioner Brooks, that was a process that Committee of Nine that's now no longer legislatively applicable, that was decided in probably 21 or 2.
About 2022, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
3 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was an election, the whole thing.
Yeah, people got to choose at that time.
Mr. Chairman, I guess here's where I'm at. We did this yesterday with Caldwell, where we requested them to come back with another map. And that's what I personally would like to do, because the way I see it, with everything that's been approved and committed to, you got about 4,700 EDUs to play with in a reasonable 3 to 5 years. So I'd like to see a map of your city limits, what you've committed to for will serve, and then where you think the next basically 4,700 are reasonably going to get filled in, and go from there.
Chairman, I would support that, and I would want, because we're trying to look at what's been entitled, obviously the county subdivisions won't count, but not what Middleton plans to approve. I'm assuming that is it Daystar that has not been approved yet, or has it?
Has not been approved yet.
Right, so I wouldn't want that included. I would just want a map And I think this was, a lot of those entitlements were under former mayor rule. And at that time, there were about 7,000, I think, that were granted at the time that he left office. So wherever those are at, which ones have building permits and the toilets are flushing, and then which ones are left, and where that's located in relation to some of that open ground that's out there. So, and then, Chairman, if I could ask again, transportation is a component of this. And I just happened to see former mayor Rule and at a restaurant, he was picking up food, but he said, I enjoyed my time in office. I was disappointed I didn't get the transportation component completed. And Middleton is difficult because Emmett Highway has now been, I'm sorry, Highway 44, but Emmett Highway is back too. But it's been compounded by the addition of an RV park. It's full. And so I don't have any way, nothing's been presented to me that would make me want to add to the transportation load that exists in Middleton. So unless there's a different plan that hasn't been presented, the Galloway, I did attend those ITD transportation PEL meetings, and at that time, ITD was not interested in Galloway. So I hear that. I don't think it's a bad plan. I just think that study, it's gone from the last 20-year period for that evaluation through Middleton, and there were some delays in there for different reasons. But I would want to know what kind of solid commitments you have. I don't remember that transportation corridor. It would be a great hookup to going east, but
you're talking about the Galloway or Goodson, right?
Well, yes. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm saying the wrong one. Whatever you said last time, it's the one above Purple Sage. That looks like Galloway to me.
Right. They were studying multiple east-west corridors, mm-hmm. and they just started. And you're asking for proof of what's going on there?
Because transportation is a component of what we consider.
Right.
And Middleton is congested. And so if this is a five-year plan, the last Middleton plan was a 20-year project, which the legislature doesn't allow anymore to take that long. So what realistically, maybe you don't have anything from ITD board that studies in progress right now, but it doesn't help people in that area. It does not stop the traffic fatalities to say that they're studying a plan. And so the other thing I have an interest in, Chairman, it's what I asked last time where the bypass would go, and what I thought I heard you say was that it would go through the one-time proposed Crane Creek Plaza.
Yes.
And it was my understanding in talking with someone in Middleton that a lot of that people have built on the easements and entitlements through there. And I'm not a traffic engineer, but to put that kind of a 55 mile an hour roadway right through your heart, I would need to look at what that looks like. Additionally, I was a part of the urban renewal evaluation. That's a joint venture between the city and the county. That was approved in maybe 19, I think we touched on that. This was not presented. This is a plan that is outside of the urban renewal Title 50, what we approved. So in my humble opinion, you're jeopardizing that urban renewal district by, instead of creating a unique part of Middleton Crane Creek Plaza, which was designed to mirror Indian Creek Plaza, to run a 55 mile an hour strip of bypass down there, I would want to look at unwinding that deal. That's not consistent for me. I was heavily involved with that. My treasurer did the feasibility study on that. Those are two totally very different things.
Well, I will tell you that City Council a couple months ago sent a letter to ITD, the PEL study, David and Evans and Associates, and it was a letter of protest and opposition. The PEL study's completed. they chose the Southern Bypass that goes through Crane Creek Plaza. And City Council opposed it in a letter. But they can't stop ITD. They're still going to go ahead and send it up to the Federal Highway Administration. But City Council's not on board. The current City Council is not on board.
Yeah. Thank you. And whoever was on that, at least the conversation I had with Becky Cross, that is the reason that that is a sawtooth, that that was created to run through there.
Yes.
And meander in,
yes,
I think, pretty aesthetically pleasing ways, but
yeah.
I would need. I did. That's under consideration. There's a question. Yeah, so that change from the urban renewal plan is under consideration at the federal level, is what you're saying.
The actual ITD road is under consideration, or will be shortly, within the next few weeks, at the federal level, because the PEL study with ITD is done.
Okay.
They chose two alternatives, both Southern Bypass.
Okay.
They just so happened to go through Crane Creek Plaza to the dismay of the four councilmen.
Yeah.
And they put it on the record with a letter to the Federal Transportation Administration, to ITD, and to the PEL study sponsors.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, between you two, can you come out with a succinct what we are asking for the city of Middleton to bring back?
Can you speak up, please? I'm sorry.
So, what I'm saying is, between both Commissioner Van Beek and Commissioner Brooks, we've conversationally touched upon things that they were requesting for the city of Middleton to bring back in detail for additional clarification. Can we work on those two points to make sure that we're all in agreement on what we're asking?
Yeah.
So they know what they're answering.
So, Chairman, I think we need a map showing,
okay,
entitlements, and I would be in support of drawing back the lines on the east and west boundaries as Middleton's proposed, but I would also be in favor of withdrawing the area of impact on the northern border. That area between Purple Sage, which is the existing area, our city limit line, but from Purple Sage to Galloway is still Big Ag. And so I would be in favor of withdrawing that and having them bring their map back that leaves that ag and rural residential. That area specifically, people intentionally went there to remain rural.
So for clarification, we're asking for one map that delineates the will serve. You've made a comment that most of the 8,000 capacity has already been committed to will serve. So show us a map where the 8,000 is consumed.
Mm-hmm.
What is the second map? You're wanting them to,
yes,
give a suggested reduction.
Right, and Chairman, they've already done it. So I would, it was extended out to Kingsbury, and I guess it looks like with the purple you've drawn that back. No, that is okay. That
it's still at Kingsbury.
Yes, okay. It was different than that before. Where did it go to that you drew that in on the east and the west? Or did I misunderstand?
On the west, we brought it back from I-84 and followed a sewer shed.
Okay.
That matched our planning better and was more accurate. On the east, it stayed at Kingsbury, but it used to pop, see in the southern, below Highway 44, it used to pop all the way over there where the blue and white line is. We after speaking with the Mayor Star, we brought it back just to a straight Kingsbury all the way down to the river.
Okay.
So we did draw it back there.
Thank you.
So can
Mr. Chairman, I think we can do it in one map.
Yeah, I
do.
Okay.
You want me to rattle off a motion and see if it works?
Well, I'm interested in keeping the southern border and the west and east borders up to Highway 44. I think her argument was persuasive in the past about doing. Her argument was persuasive to me in the past about defending the city of Middleton and their area and their quality of life and what they were trying to achieve. I'm not as comfortable to be as bold about the borderline going north, the area of impact line going north, but the area of impact line from Highway 44 south all the way along, how it ends up and comes back up to Highway 44 on the west, I'm personally in favor of them keeping that the way it is. There's no compelling reason to me, I'm concerned about Caldwell eventually moving right up to their, right into the river and past the river. So to me, that was compelling. Can we discuss that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I agree with you, and I think I got a motion that will include that.
All right. We're always good with motions.
Yeah. And before you do that, can you talk a little bit about the northern boundary or where you're at on that? And keeping that at the current city limit at Purple Sage instead of extending to Galloway?
I would rather it be in Middleton's lap to come back with a map that is based on the comments that we've made today.
Okay.
And include that in the motion.
Perfect. That sounds good.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I move that we request the city of Middleton provide a new proposed area of impact map that is based upon our comments today, includes the existing will serve and projected future service of the remaining 5,400 EDUs to be approved.
Okay. Comments, discussion?
Did I miss the part? Are you anticipating that though they may have EDUs in that boundary between Purple Sage and Galloway? Is that what you're saying? Or can you amend it to just leave the area, the city limit at Purple Sage?
I guess the point of phrasing it the way I did, I want to see what they come back and see where it's located, because we can still move the boundary regardless. Okay.
So we could entertain additional discussion based on the information that's brought back.
Correct.
I will second.
All right. Any other discussion? Dean, if there's none. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Do you have questions? You good?
No. So the next hearing then would be after we submit something.
Yes.
You don't need to set a date right now.
We do.
Okay.
So let's negotiate what you feel is a comfortable timeline to do that. Would you like 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
I think 3 weeks would be great.
I would think so.
Thank you.
Jen, do we have an open date sometime during 3 weeks out?
All of Wednesday, November 19th appears to be open at this point.
Okay, all right. Do you have availability to the calendar for this meeting?
Let me see.
Commissioners, may I ask a question, please?
Sorry.
Looks like this room is full on that day.
Okay. Can we pick a different day?
That I can't answer right off the bat.
Who's got it?
An outside agency. We could do, depending on how long, from like 9 to 10 on Monday the 17th.
You can always continue to get it done.
What time does it start?
On which day, the 17th?
The Monday, yeah. How long do we got?
DSD has hearings in here starting about 11, so if we started
Commissioners, that is for the hearing examiner, which we are currently not holding.
Okay, so it's open.
Yep. So, yeah, it looks like we would have all day availability on Monday the 17th.
Let's do it. What, 10? That's Monday?
Yeah.
All right. Would that work, Monday the 17th?
Yes.
10 o'clock?
10.
Yeah.
We couldn't hear the date.
Okay, Monday the 17th, 10 o'clock in this room.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, then I would make a motion to continue this hearing for Middleton to have the opportunity to respond to the questions that we've asked and to present a reduced map.
I second.
You second. All right, that was quick. On Monday, the 17th, 10 o'clock.
It was anticipated.
All right, it was anticipated. All right, you're still second.
I still second.
Even though it's been modified. Okay. Added to. All right, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Okay, I would make a motion then that we adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Chairman, all those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Just consider ourselves adjourned. Thank you.